is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for October 4th, 2019, and I am so happy to be back behind this microphone to talk to you today. I had planned on being on the air last week, and actually that's a part of what I want to talk about today, why I wasn't on the air. Couple of big events happening all within a couple of days of one another in my life, and it's made me do a lot of thinking about certain things and how different situations, at least related to where things are going in my life and how they affect, you know, and how to approach those things. And so I'm going to talk about that today. The two events, just to not kind of leave you completely hanging, the two events that happened within a couple days of one another were me having my 50th birthday, and along with that, I had some different goals that I'd been aiming toward that were kind of around my 50th birthday. And then a couple days later, taking my youngest child to college and becoming an empty nester. So a couple of big milestones within a couple of days of one another, and just left me a little bit out of sorts at different times last week. And so when it came time to go on the air, I didn't feel like that I was going to be offering my best. And so we last minute threw up a replay show. Again, I don't want to get on here and not be as good and as prepared as I can. And, you know, that doesn't mean I don't sometimes screw things up, but I just didn't, as they say, I wasn't feeling it. So I felt it best to pass on that. I am working on some interviews coming up. I'm not gonna mention any of those yet because none of them are pinned down. But definitely have a few things we're working on. And as you know, I really enjoy the interviews. That's my favorite part of doing this show. Of course, we will get plugged back in with the high school in the next several weeks and find out what's going on over there. But I also have a handful of things around our community and around the valley that are of interest to me and should be of interest to you. And so I'm working on those, trying to get this to be a little more consistent. I know that since summer has started, it's been, you know, really kind of inconsistent, and I apologize for that. But my business has been busier than I'm used to for this particular time of year. And again, with some of the milestones that have been passing in my personal life, it's become a real challenge. And, you know, I've mentioned before, and I guess while I'm on the topic, and again, we're gonna dive into some of those things in just a little bit. But I've mentioned this before, and I haven't gotten any feedback, and I understand why, but I'm gonna throw it out there again. If you are looking for a volunteer opportunity, because again, here at The Bridge, we are all volunteers. This station, we do have underwriters. We have underwriters for the station at large, and also specific underwriting for the Rogue River High School sports broadcasts that we do. But those really just pay for the expenses. There's no paid staff here. Our station manager is a volunteer. He was the founder of the station. And of course, that's Pastor Gigline. But he's a volunteer. He's not paid for his work here. And I'm a volunteer. I love what I'm doing, but I have to put my paying job ahead of my work here. And I don't like when that happens, but that's the fact. So what I'm looking for Is there somebody that's interested? Do you like the show? Maybe you listen because of the high school content, or maybe you listen because of some of the community things, or, you know, even the pseudo celebrities that sometimes I bring on here. You know, whatever reason that you may tune in, whether, you know, once in a while, or some of you listen all the time, and I really appreciate having you there. But I really would like to keep this show going, but I'm finding it harder and harder to get the content that I think is best for the show. And so the kind of volunteer I'm looking for, and again, I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to throw it out there again, is someone that might want to help scheduling some guests for the show. My business keeps me pretty busy, and at times it keeps me busier than I want to be. And what I mean by that is sometimes I'm doing a lot of extra work that doesn't necessarily mean extra pay, and that's not really my favorite way to spend time, but a lot of times it's necessary when you're running a business. So, but I'm not a very assertive type person. In fact, I was chatting with some friends today that are helping me with some things, again, that I'll talk about later on in the show. But I was mentioning that, you know, I'm not a good networker because I love to talk. I'll talk your ear off. That's why I'm on the radio. That's how people pointed me to the bridge. They knew I could talk, and that's never been a problem for me. But I'm not outgoing. I'm not assertive. I don't approach people that I don't know very often, or in uncomfortable situations. If I'm engaged, then no problem. But I don't often seek the engagement. So somebody that does enjoy that, or somebody that's better at that, somebody that doesn't have a fear of the telephone as strangely I do. Again, I would love to coordinate with someone that would like to keep the show going, keep the content of the show at a higher level than what it sometimes can be. And so if you're that person, you can contact me a couple of different ways. We have a Facebook page, Rogue Talk on Facebook. You can send a personal message through the Rogue Talk page. You can also email me. Those emails should go to feedback@943thebridge.com. And under the subject line, put Rogue Talk, two words, Rogue Talk, name of the show, and those emails will come to me. And so I would love to hear from you. And also for today, if you'd like to call into the show, I'm going to talk about, you know, some of these milestones that we hit in life and how we deal with them and all of that. So if you'd like to call the show today, you can do that at 541-299-0498, 541-299-0498. And so I think that covers all of what I wanted to start the show with. But let's take a look at Chieftain Sports, as we like to do here on Rogue Talk. Let's start with volleyball. Volleyball got their first win of the season on Tuesday. They were hosting Illinois Valley, and they won that match 3-1. But unfortunately, they couldn't back that one up. Thursday night, they lost at Bonanza 3-0. And so that leaves the volleyball team with a 1-9 overall record, 1-5 in league competition. And so they got their first win, but they'd like to get some more. And you can help them do that coming up on Tuesday. And I will have the whole schedule for all the teams coming up at the end of the show. But the volleyball girls are working hard and trying hard. They got their first win, but they'd really like to add to that. And if we can get out and support them, that would help quite a bit. Boys soccer has a 1-4 league record, and that is also their overall record. The leagues in soccer run a little differently. In fact, the boys and the girls are even different from one another based on the teams that are participating in each one. But the boys lost at Paisley 9-5. That was this past Wednesday, and they will be playing tomorrow, and we'll get to all the rest of their upcoming schedule at the end of the show. Girls soccer suffered their first loss of the season, dropping them to a 5-1 overall record and a 1-1 league record. And they are currently ranked 11th in the state in the 2A. And we'll get to their upcoming schedule also. But that loss was this past Wednesday. They were taking on the number 5 team, Cascade Christian, and they lost that game 3-1. So, been an up and down week for the Chieftain Sports. And then finally, Chieftain football here on 94.3 The Bridge. 7 o'clock tonight, the 1-3 Chieftains will be taking on the Lakeview Honkers. Now, Lakeview represents the only win for the Chieftains, as the Chieftains beat them 24-8 in their opener. This will be the first league game tonight. The first game with Lakeview was a non-league contest, and this will be the first league game for most of the teams around the 2A tonight. And so the Chieftains will have to beat Lakeview for a second time this season. Fortunately for the Chieftains, it will be at home. And that will be tonight here on 94.3 The Bridge. We generally go on air about 5 minutes before kickoff, so about 6:55 for a quick pregame. And then kickoff is around 7 o'clock. And that will be right here on 94.3 The Bridge. And that's going to do it for this opening segment. We'll take a break and come back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said Friday that the U.S. economy is facing some risks at the moment, but overall it's in a good place, and the Fed's main job is to keep it there as long as possible. Powell noted that unemployment is at a half-century low and inflation is running close to the Fed's 2% target. Security forces opened fire directly at hundreds of anti-government demonstrators in central Baghdad, killing at least 10 protesters and injuring dozens. Since Tuesday, 53 people have been killed in clashes between demonstrators and security forces. Iraq's top Shiite cleric warned both sides to end the violence before it's too late. A good day on Wall Street, as the Dow was up by 372 points, the Nasdaq rose 110, the S&P 500 advanced 41. More details at srnnews.com.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. We're going to start with Major League Baseball playoff action. Great pitching performance sends the Dodgers past the Nats in Game 1 of the NLDS.
Walker Buehler shut down the Nationals with 6 scoreless innings in a 6-0 Dodgers win in Game 1. Buehler allowed just one hit and struck out 8 along the way. Max Muncy was the game's batting star with a pair of hits and 3 runs batted in off Patrick Corbin. Corbin walked in a run in the first inning and allowed an unearned run in the 5th on a crucial error by first baseman Howie Kendrick. The Dodgers broke it open in the late innings against the Nats pen, getting home runs from Gavin Lux and Jock Peterson. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
St. Louis scored twice in the 8th inning and erupted for 4 runs in the 9th inning off Mark Melancon to earn a 7-6 win over the Braves. Marcell Ozuna delivered a tie-breaking 2-run double and scored on Colton Wong's 2-run double. This is SRN Sports. NFL Thursday Night Football, the defending NFC champs dropped their second straight since the 3-0 start. The Seattle Seahawks withstood a wild finish and beat the LA Rams 30-29. Russell Wilson threw a go-ahead 5-yard touchdown pass to Chris Carson on 4th and goal with 2:28 remaining. That was the backbreaker there. Wilson 17 of 23, 268 yards, 4 touchdowns. and a last-second field goal that would have taken the game for the L.A. Rams went amiss, and they fall to 3-2 on the year. National Hockey League action, they are back. The season has returned. Carolina beat the Canadiens 4-3 last night. It was the Rangers 6 and Winnipeg 4. Sabres over Pittsburgh 3-1. Tampa Bay stopped Florida 5-2. Nashville 5, Minnesota 2 was the Bruins over Dallas by a 2-1 score. Colorado 5, Calgary 3, and the Ducks beat Arizona. Final score there 2-1. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And so this passed, well, almost 2 weeks ago now, but kind of affecting me the last week or so. I had my 50th birthday, and I also became an empty nester. We took our youngest child, my only son, to college and dropped him off. And, you know, you have all the usual, emotions of, you know, leaving him there, but it's compounded a bit when you realize you're becoming an empty nester. And so I wanted to talk about some of the issues that came up in my mind and, you know, that kind of go along with both of these things. You know, 50 is kind of a milestone that you start to realize, on a bunch of different levels, what a milestone it is. You know, you think about how that, you know, you hit 50, you start getting that mail from the AARP, and you start thinking about things like retirement, which I'm nowhere close to, not only because I can't see myself not working. I don't do well just sitting around. In fact, just during the breaks for the radio show, I'm usually up on my feet, and I just can't sit for too long. So I don't see myself retiring anytime soon. Also, financially, that would probably be impossible, but that's a whole nother show we could do. But, you start looking at your life a little differently, and you look at different things, and then you add the empty nest syndrome to it, and you're dealing with things. And so I wanted to talk about a few of those things, and you know, I wrote some of it down, and some of it's just in my head kind of floating around. And so I'm going to start with one of the issues that's just kind of was floating around in my head. And the reason that I wasn't on the air last week was I've probably told this story before. I know I've told the story before, but I think I've told it even on this show, maybe on one of the other shows that I've been on here on the Bridge. But when I was a kid, and I don't remember how old I was, I'm guessing I would have been, you know, probably, you know, 8 or 10, definitely not a teenager yet, but a younger child. And my grandmother asked me something that parents and grandparents will often ask. And she asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I told her I wanted to be a dad. And so that's what I did. That's what I've done my whole life. I never really focused on my career. It wasn't that I didn't take my career seriously. I definitely did. I was married pretty young and started having kids fairly soon. And that was a decision that my wife and I had made. We had talked about whether to, you know, enjoy married life for a while and then have kids later, or to have kids right away and, you know, enjoy our life after the kids leave, which is one of those milestones that we're hitting here, that why I'm talking about this subject. And we chose to have our kids early. We actually started even a little earlier than we had talked about. But nonetheless, that was the plan. But what happened was, as I realized, I got up Monday morning after we took my son on a Sunday, and I got up Monday morning and I realized that I've been doing the same thing for 25 years, and I wasn't doing it anymore. Now, it's not being a dad. I'm still a dad. I still get to be a dad. In fact, I'm headed to Eugene tomorrow, and me and my son are going to go to the Duck game tomorrow. In fact, we're going to go do some shopping beforehand and help him get a few more things he needs for school, and then we're going to head to the Duck game. So I still get to be a dad, and I still get to be a grandfather, which I've been for a couple of years now. And so that hasn't changed, but your roles change. And so I'm sure some of you have been through this, whether it's, you know, empty nesting, or maybe it's when you first have your kids. If you're one of the younger parents out there, when you first bring kids into the home, your life changes drastically. And, you know, how do we handle those things? And, you know, how we relate to our kids, it changes. And so it just occurred to me Monday morning that this thing I had been used to, having kids in the household for 25 straight years, was done. And you start to think about all the differences. You know, I wonder, you know, my wife's stuck with just me now. So, you know, she may rethink her situation when she's stuck having to talk to me all the time and doesn't have the kids there to run interference. But truthfully, that's actually been working out quite well. My wife and I, we're pretty good communicators with one another, always have been. And so that hasn't really been a problem, but it's something you worry about. It's something you think about, you know, how are we going to handle the being empty nesters? But for me, it was more, again, that, you know, that thing that I told my grandmother that I wanted to be a dad, that's been my job for 25 years. And I kind of taken opportunities as they come along. I haven't really pursued things. And that was okay. As long as I could support my family and take care of my family, that was okay with me. But this kind of goes into the fact that earlier in that same week, I had turned 50 and I had some goals for 50. And I know occasionally amongst my listeners here on Rogue Talk, maybe people that I have worked for. So what I'm about to say is not a reflection of anything that those people that I work for need to worry about. As long as I'm running my landscape business, I'm giving 100% to making sure that the needs of my customers are being met. That will never change. My successes in business have always been related to a work ethic that I learned from my father and that I've tried to pass on to my kids. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean I don't have days where I just don't have it. The mojo's not there and things aren't perfect. You know that from listening to the radio show. There's some rough days, but I always try and give everything I can, and that won't change until I walk away. And nothing is in the offing. There's nothing on the burner, you know. But one of my goals was to get away from the landscape business somewhere around turning 50, and I didn't reach that goal. I have a lot of things going on right now. As I mentioned, I'm not a great networker. So I'm trying to get better at that because I do have some goals, some career goals that I'm working toward. But you know, I hit 50 and I realized that for half of my life, I've had kids in the house, and I didn't have that anymore. And for half of my life, my career has been being a dad and not, I work and I support my family and tried to do that the best way I can, but it was never, I was never in pursuit of a certain career, and now I am, but it just all kind of hit at once. And so that Monday morning, I lost it. I broke down and cried, and some of you that have been through this, you know those emotions, you know those feelings. They're different for everyone, but they hit me pretty hard because of the fact that being a dad has been my career. And that's not to take anything away from people that their focus was a little different than mine. There's a lot of good moms and dads out there, and everybody's story is different. But for me, that was always my focus. And so it was kind of a shocking week for me, but it also reminded me that when we dropped my son off at the college and we were getting ready to leave, and one of my daughters was there with us, who has been instrumental in helping her brother get into college and getting, you know, all of the scholarships that are helping him. And just, I mean, she went to the school he's going to, so she's just been an enormous help, and she went along with us. And as you would expect in a lot of family dynamics, as we're heading out the door, of course, my wife is crying, and you know, she's leaving her baby off into the adult world, and that's understandable. And I'm being tough for my son. And it got me to thinking. I see a lot of these memes, you know, they go around and they're lecturing us about letting our boys, especially, you know, letting them show their emotions, and you know that, you know, it's not healthy to be, you know, to hold your emotions in, and I agree with that to a certain extent. But what kind of struck me was, that's not what was happening in that moment. Now, first of all, my son is a lot like me. He doesn't have any trouble showing emotion. If the situation warrants him crying, he will cry. And I'm not saying that to embarrass him. I'm proud of him for that. I'm proud of the fact that he's able to show his emotions. I'm that way. But at that moment, his mom was feeling some emotion and was showing those emotions, and he was sharing that moment with her. But he was also very nervous. He's never lived on his own. If you had asked him maybe in junior high school if he was going to go to college, I'm not sure he would have said yes. I know I wouldn't have. He's overcome a lot of stuff to qualify himself for college. And, you know, I'm not going to get too personal about him, but, you know, it's been a lot of hard work for him to become someone that I think is going to thrive in college. He's going to do very well. And so at that moment, I'm feeling those same emotions, but I'm keeping them to myself, not because I'm trying to teach my son that you have to hold your emotions in, or, you know, you're going to be a tough guy and you can't cry. I'm keeping my emotions in check because I want to reassure him, who's very nervous at that very moment, starting his adult life, that he's okay, that he's going to get through this. So I understand that we need boys to be able to show their emotions. I understand we have a huge suicide problem in this society right now, and a lot of those are young men and boys, and I get all of that. But there's a difference to me between showing emotion and being strong for someone around you. When someone's feeling vulnerable and they need reassurance, that reassurance sometimes can be crying with them that you share those emotions. But at other times, it can also mean being strong for them and making them feel comfortable that they're going to be okay. And so I was kind of struck by how that made me feel. But then again, you know, Monday morning, it's my turn. I get to lose it. And I struggled with that all week long with those emotions and what was going on and the way that society tries to judge one another. It gets a little frustrating. And, you know, and I mentioned my wife and what role that she's played. I mean, her baby, and he's been her baby. She, you know, we're no different than any other parents. And the first child, you put them in a bubble and you try and protect them from the world. And, you know, every little noise they make scares you. And, you know, the baby monitor is always on and all those things. And then the second child, you're a little more comfortable and, you know, you're not doting on them every second of the day because you've realized that they don't really need that. And then, you know, whatever your last one is, I was the third of four. So I was the middle child. And in our family, I was the true middle child. And the reason I say that is because we had some cousins that we were really close with, and we were kind of paired up, and I was the odd one out that didn't have a cousin I was paired up to. So I really was the middle child, and I hope I didn't behave in all the negative ways that middle children do, or that we say they do. We like to tease them about, but I'm sure I probably did. You get to your last one and they're your baby. And as they get older, you start to realize that they're going to be going away soon. And so again, it all builds up. And so, you know, getting back to my wife, it also changed my role in a way with her. When you're parenting and you're, you know, I hate the term because it usually refers to people that are divorced or separated, but when you're parenting, you're co-parenting, you kind of take different roles and you get comfortable with those roles. And when those go away, it leaves a little bit of a hole. But one of the things that was important to me, and it's important all the time in your relationship, but it becomes more important at certain milestones, certain times in your life, what became important to me was I needed to be more in tune or responsive, I guess, to my wife's emotions, and especially related to what she was going through with us taking our son. And not so much my birthday. They had a party for me on my birthday, and you know, we had all the usual things, a walker and some hair dye, and you know, all those things, Depends, and all those things that we associate with old people. And of course, when you're 50, you're not really needing any of that stuff. Well, maybe the hair dye, but we won't talk about that. So we had all the fun, and you know, all the local family surprised me by being there. Went out to dinner with my wife, and when we got back, they were all there, and I wasn't expecting a party, and you know, I was genuinely surprised. I mean, I wasn't expecting anything. They did all that stuff when I turned 40, and it you know, they. If they do it when I turn 60, there might be a fight, but at 50, I was still okay with it. So we'll see what happens. But going back to the emotions of it, I wanted to be in tune with what my wife was going through. And it, again, it's something we should do all the time. You should always be, you know, in contact with your spouse and what their, you know, what their feelings are about, you know, everything that goes on in your life. And again, I mentioned before, my wife and I communicate pretty well together. We probably don't get to sit down and talk as much as we would like, although that's starting to change with the empty nest. Although I've got to say, My kids are all pretty close to me. My son's now the farthest away right now while he's at school, but he's still not that far away. And it doesn't always feel like empty nesting because there seems to always be, you know, one of my girls will be there, or my younger daughter, one of her kids will be there. So it hasn't always felt like an empty nest, but there's definitely more time for my wife and I to talk. And, you know, so we've gotten to talk about those things that we're both going through, looking at what's next for us, in our lives. You know, and that, I mean, that can range any number of different conversations, but they're important conversations. And sometimes I think we take for granted that. So I guess my point of that is I would encourage you, treat your life like these events are happening, even when they're not happening, because those talks are really important. And, again, the last several years, I've come to realize that, and the communication has been good. But it's really important when we're going through these things. And, you know, we talk about career choices, and, you know, we're both at kind of crossroads in what we want to do. And so we've talked about those things. But I really felt the importance of me being there, you know, for her, and trying to understand what she was going through, because her emotions were completely different than mine. I mean, we, you know, this society, we've got people that tell us that, you know, oh, there's no difference between men and women. And well, that's just not true. it's not true. And you can tell in these situations where the things that she's struggling with are often completely different than the things that I'm struggling with. And they may be related to one another, but the emotions in many instances are just completely different. And so, you know, it's an interesting thing. And you hit this point in life and you realize you start to get where you need to be a little selfish, and sometimes that's individually, and sometimes that's, in our case as a couple, we need to focus on, you know, retirement is the next big thing in our lives. I mean, we'll have more grandkids coming, and you know, and you don't know what life's going to bring, but in the planning stages, we know that, you know, we have to prepare. We should have been doing it all along, and we have been, but you really start to focus more on retirement and are you going to have enough money? In fact, I was chatting with a friend this week that, you know, she's decided that she's going to get really, really selfish, and not in a negative way, but in a way that is important to her life, because she's a couple years older than me. And, you know, financially, she's made the decision that I need to make $1 million in the next 10 years if I want to retire the way that I will be comfortable. And that's a pretty, pretty tough realization. But what it requires from her is no more volunteering unless it's something that directly promotes her career. So, and that's the same position that I'm starting to feel. I don't know that I'm quite there yet. I really enjoy volunteering and you know, most of my volunteering now is for the radio station, but I still end up doing other things, and I enjoy it, especially when it involves the schools, because I love being around the kids. I steal that energy that young people have, and I try and, you know, harness some of that. But, you know, I'm getting closer to the point where I'm going to feel the way that my friend does, that, you know, if I'm going to volunteer for anything, it's going to have to be something that's going to better me and help me in my career, because you know, I'm not too far behind her. I need to, you know, I need to really start socking the money away for retirement. And it's not a hard and fast thing. I mean, for me, I love being on the radio. I love doing the sports broadcasts. I would love to take that to another level. And, you know, if I was broadcasting, you know, I don't know, let's really reach for the stars, and I was broadcasting Major League Baseball on the radio, I could go well past 65, and as long as my voice held up, I would be more than comfortable doing that. So retirement's not a hard and fast day, you know, this exact day. We don't know what's ahead of us and, you know, what things we're going to go through, but it is something you start thinking about. And so those are some of the things that I've been, you know, bouncing around in my head. And I hope this is helpful for some of you. Again, I know it's just to some of you, I'm just telling a personal story, and, you know, maybe you've already tuned out. But these are things that, you know, these life events are things we all go through. And in, you know, some of these events we can be prepared for, and some of them, no matter what preparation you think you're doing, you're never prepared. And but I know we all go through them, and so I guess I would just say that, you know, we, you know, be there for one another, especially within your family, we can all, you know, help one another get through some of these things. And again, it you know, the empty nest thing, it's one of those situations that the longer that we get away from day one, the more fun it's getting. The, you know, but it's taking time. It's a big difference having you know, having no kids in the house, and even when they're annoying, even when, you know, and or vice versa, even when you're annoying them, you, when it all goes away, you're gonna miss it regardless. And again, we can be there for one another, we can help one another, and we should really think about the things that come up when these events happen. If you're already doing those things, or you're already being, you know, being there for your spouse, being there for your kids, it makes it a lot easier. And I'm finding that out. You know, some of the things where I've failed are a lot harder to deal with than the things that, like, the communication has been good. So those have been easier. I'm not gonna divulge where my weaknesses have been, but where they have been, that made those things a little harder to deal with. So, you know, we could all do a better job of preparation. We could all do a better job of being there for one another. And that applies to society. You know, we've become a very divided society. And, you know, there used to be things like block parties, and I'm sure these things still happen, but they're nowhere near as common. But you would know your neighbors, and you would be there for your neighbors. You know, you look out for one another. And, you know, now if you want to have a neighborhood watch, you have to buy a ring doorbell. It's an interesting world that we live in, and I would like to see, you know, it get back to, you know, where neighbors are there for one another, and we look out for each other. Churches and other community organizations are there to do the thing. You know, we rely on government to do so many things that really we used to do in society without. We didn't need government to help us do those things. The community would take care of one another, the churches and the nonprofit organizations, and they're still there, but it's not what it used to be. And, you know, it's something we can fix, but it takes, you know, it takes a concerted effort. It takes people to get a different mindset. You know, and this is kind of off topic just a little bit, but, you know, I recently had, well, I mentioned this on the air. In fact, I answered the question on the air. And so this is kind of an update to that. For those of you that were listening, this has been several weeks back. I was asked a question privately by a friend whose name I won't mention. And it was asked in context to when President Trump had said something about, I think it was a tweet. I'm not even sure at this point. It's not really that important, except for how it pertains to the question that I was asked. But it was when he had tweeted or said that there were some certain Congress people that he thought should go back to their countries. And of course, it was a terrible thing to say. And especially because, you know, three of the maybe four people that he was most likely referring to were all born in the United States. So it was an ignorant comment and it was not necessary. The point that he was trying to make may have been a good point, but your point is buried in your ignorance when you say something that was horrible. But I was asked if I was still supporting the president, and so I talked on the air about this, and you know, you have to define support, because I've never been what I would consider a Trump supporter. But if she meant, was I going to be a voter, would I vote for him again? Yes. The fact that he acts like a bore, I knew that ahead of time. He's been a celebrity for some time. We all know what kind of a person Donald Trump is. So as long as his policies are things that I agree with and things are going well in the country, at least from my perspective, then yes, I would vote for him again unless something changes. But the fact that he behaves in a boorish manner, I'm not happy about it. I'd like the president to act a little more presidential, but I'm not going to dump him for being the person that I already knew that he was. Well, I don't know if she was listening that day. I never answered her back on the private message that she sent to me. And I've since been unfriended and blocked. And it got me thinking. Now, I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. It's an interesting story to tell, but I don't choose my friends based on their political leanings. I may distance myself from someone that I think is just completely out there, you know, and just way too far, you know, too far to one side or the other. It doesn't have to be left or right. It just has to be, you know, where they're just, you know, I can't be comfortable with what they're saying. You know, I may distance myself, but I don't choose my friends that way. And we need to become a society that does the same thing. You know, we can't, you can't base, if you're friends with someone and you find out that their political views are different, if politics is so important to you that you don't want to be their friends, I think you may need to reevaluate what friendship is and how important those relationships are. Because look, I'm a political junkie. I'm as big of a political junkie as anybody, but friendships go way deeper than politics. And so those are changes we need to make in the society. And I know that's kind of a stretch from what I've been talking about with the things that happened in my life this last couple of weeks. But it is just a signal to me that we all could be, you know, better to one another. And so I got to take a break here before the computer takes it for me, and we'll be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The impeachment investigation into President Trump widened on Friday into a constitutional battle between the executive branch and Congress. Democrats prepared to subpoena White House officials, and the president signaled his administration would not cooperate. Mr. Trump said he would formally object to the impeachment investigation, even as he acknowledged that House Democrats have the votes to proceed. A rush to transparency by Roman Catholic dioceses and religious orders has led to an avalanche of thousands of names of ousted priests and clergy members deemed credibly accused of sexual abuse being released to the public this year. An Associated Press investigation has found nearly 1,700 of those clergy members live under the radar as teachers, counselors, and even foster parents with little oversight. On Wall Street, the Dow by 372 points. The NASDAQ rose 110. More details at srnnews.com.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3, The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm George Bonzani. An optimistic National Retail Federation forecast anticipates holiday sales to rise between 3.8 and 4.2% this year.
The holiday sales forecast from the nation's largest retail trade group marks an increase from the disappointing 2.9% growth seen in the November and December 2018 period. The holiday forecast is above the average holiday sales growth of 3.7% over the previous 5 years.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. The U.S. economy's services sector grew, but at a slower rate in September. The Institute for Supply Management reports its non-manufacturing index was down to 52.6 from 56.4 in August. The ISM's Monday manufacturing report hit Wall Street hard, but yesterday was a small rebound for the indexes, with the S&P up 23, Dow picking up 122, and the NASDAQ up 87. With SRN Business, I'm George Bonzani.
Talk. And just to sum up what I was talking about, at least where it relates to career and those things, I had another friend I was talking to that we were talking about, career choices and things. And, I was asked if there was no obstacles, you didn't have to worry about anything else, what would be the job that you would want? And this doesn't mean this is what I'm necessarily going after, but what I said was, I want to be the voice of X. And what I meant by that was, like here in Oregon, we all know that Jerry Allen is the voice of the Ducks. I mean, he does a bunch of their games, not just football. I think he does, all the major sports. And so I would love to be at some college where I could still hang out with the younger people and be the voice of X. So that was kind of where that was going. It's a long process and things can change and other opportunities can come up. But that's where I was going with the career part of that. And let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule for Chieftain Sports, as I'm running out of time here. Volleyball will play Tuesday. They'll host Lost River at 5:15, and then Thursday they go to Glide. Boys soccer tomorrow at 10 a.m., hosting Cascade Christian, and then Wednesday they host Rogue Valley Adventist. Girls soccer plays tomorrow at noon. That'll be against St. Mary's at U.S. Cellular. And football tonight, 7 o'clock, first league contest. The Lakeview Honkers coming to town. Tune in to 94.3 The Bridge. And everybody be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.